Today is Saturday, the 17th of February 2024, and we are all gathered here for the 120th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium conducted by the Nisarana Forest Monastery. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero joining into today's session. And on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome Bhante with great respect for today's session. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and also through the Facebook live stream of the Satipatthasala Foundation. So, with regard to the session, I will just give you a quick view into how it will flow. We will start with in-session practice guided by Bhante on training some of the mindfulness aspects, and then we will move on to the talk given by Bhante on a scheduled topic, and then we will move on to the question-and-answer session where we present some of the reports and also give you an opportunity to raise a verbal question on your practice during the question-and-answer session. And after that, we will wrap up the program after 1.5 hours. So the duration will be 1.5 hours for the session. Therefore, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence with the in-session practice. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. Today, to start the program, let's do a small activity, which is somewhat related to the topic that we plan to discuss. For this, you need a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil. So quickly gather a piece of paper and a pen. Once you are ready, you can sign with the Zoom hand so we can start the activity. Right, so today Nadeep is helping with the drawing, so we can see his paper. Seems like maybe like 50% of you are ready. A piece of paper and a pen. Namanta, shall we start?
Yes, yes, Bhante. Nadeep, I think.
I was just waiting for them to gather the necessary things. Should
yes,
be enough, right?
Yes, I think enough time, yes.
Okay, so now we are going to create a line drawing. Line drawing, line art, that's what we are going to do. Now, when I say that we are going to do a drawing, now you will start wondering what's the drawing that we are going to make. What's the shape? What's the final product? That way, usually our mind tries to find the goal of this activity. That is natural to our mind. That is how we react. Even doing a drawing, you prefer getting it done, finishing it, trying to achieve the proper goal. This shape I need to give, this time I need to finish it. That way always we are aiming for something. But today we are trying to appreciate the process instead of the product. Instead of trying to appreciate the finished product, instead of trying to finish it within this amount of time, we try to appreciate the process in this. So this is a line art drawing we are going to do. So Nadeep, if you can just simply place your pen on the paper and simply just allow it to flow naturally. Right, whatever the shapes come in the process, those are the shapes that we are looking for. There's no particular shape or a pattern. Maybe you can do dots, maybe you can do certain lines. Whatever it is, just do it. Just allow the hand to move freely. Maybe even without lifting the pen, some of you can try. So it'll be a single line instead of getting various shapes. So all of us, according to your natural flow, you can simply try whatever that you draw. It doesn't have to be in a particular shape like Nadeep's. You don't have to finish it within a certain time. Instead, simply allow the things to flow, appreciate the process. Notice the pressure at your fingertips. Notice how the lines are appearing on the blank paper. Simply try to appreciate the drawing or the process of the drawing for a few minutes. If any of you would like to turn on video and direct towards the drawing that you have, that would be very nice. Allow it to flow naturally in whatever the shapes, patterns that it goes. I like Chamari's version. No particular shape, no particular idea. And so simply appreciating the process like a little child. The childlike appreciation of the process is very nice. Okay, you can simply continue with whatever the drawing that you are doing. Maybe I'll ask some comments from Chamari. Chamari, any comments about the process? Could you appreciate the process without trying to reach into a goal or a destination?
Yes, Pante. It's so relaxing. I kind of do the doodling. I mean, I used to do it in very boring meetings. Obviously, they didn't know. This is very calming for me. I don't have a goal. I can just simply fill the page with however the hand is moving. So, but I can see a method to the madness. It's all of the doodling, but it looks like if I print it, it might look like it's got lots of circles and circles within circles if I want to see it that way. But yeah, it's very calming and relaxing.
Right. So that's the purpose. No real shape or no real time constraint. It's just simply appreciating the process, the childlike appreciation. The children, they usually have that quality. They don't try to create a particular thing. If you ask only, they'll come up with some answer. This is what I drew. But usually they are simply enjoying the process. Thank you for sharing. Nadeep, I see you have certain shapes.
Yes, Bhante. Because as soon as you ask, draw a paint or lines, I can see the sky through my window here. It's a blue sky, very sunny day here in Melbourne. I was thinking, it would have been nice to go to the beach. So that thing hit my head. So straight away, when you asked to do the picture, that's where I started to see these, trees. Usually you see along the beach, tall, kind of a, I don't know, a Christmas tree-like thing. And also those, beach houses, we can, walk along the way. It's like a very clean beach, like half an hour drive from here. So all things, came into my mind rather than doodling or just drawing freely. That picture stick to my mind, and then wanted to, even though you said, don't worry about completing, setting the targets, anything. It is still I had in my mind, I like that picture. I want to, all the things, whatever I see when I walk into the beach, it's like, some seagulls around here, and then some bright sun here, some beach huts, beach houses, and some kids. Sometimes you see the dogs also freely walking along the beach. Everything, came into my mind. So this is the end product. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's the end product. Now, when I started my drawing, I could see that my mind, I was thinking what to draw, maybe something I saw earlier. That thought process was there.
Yeah.
Then I simply started, drawing the lines. And initially it was like maybe like a head, and eventually it turned into some kind of a mess. And at the end of the day, maybe mine too was inspired by a visit to the beach.
Yes.
Not sure whether you can really see it,
Yeah.
but somehow I was doing
Oh, really?
certain lines like a beach, and halfway my pen ended. So I had to take a different color pen, and it was not intentional. So this is the end product. Not sure what's the meaning that you will get. Right? So that's the end product. Halfway into the drawing, I wanted to do footsteps on the sand.
Okay.
Then somehow ended up doing the elephant footsteps. So that's what I have. I'm the worst person when it comes to art. Maybe Hiranti will have something to say.
Hi, thank you. I was a bit of a shock when you asked us to do this because I wasn't prepared. So I just grabbed a piece of paper and a pen and started drawing my vicinity. Can you hear me all? Can
Yes,
you?
I can hear.
Yeah. It just came to my mind the vicinity of my area and started drawing. I don't know whether you can see it. Can you? My surrounding area.
Right,
Cars going
indeed.
this way,
Yeah.
cars going that way. Yeah, so yes, but it was very relaxing early morning after a struggle to get into the program. It make me a piece easy, calms me down. So that's all which came to my mind. And I just drew the two sides of my
Right. Thank you for sharing. And maybe somebody else. I saw Anupama drawing something. Anupama, I saw you drawing freely. Do you have anything?
Yes, Dante, let me show you. I'll switch on my video, hopefully. Can you see? It's a bit blurred. Let me see if I can. There we go. Can you see it?
Yes, that's
It
very
really
nice.
has no theme. It's not, there's no theme to it. I just let my hand and my mind take over and just the various shapes of lines. I think some were circular, some were straight, some were zigzag, but in the end it ended up like
yes,
a lot of spindles.
Just appreciating the process, right?
Yes, yes, Bante. Yes. I was trying to get a feel of the pressure, how it was changing. I think it was not an even pressure. It was changing from moment to moment. Firm, then a bit more lighter touch. I think the lines are also, some are darker, some are lighter. So just, yeah, I tried to invite the childlike quality because I don't think I've done it for a long time.
That's very nice. Childlike quality we have to have more and more.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for sharing. I think with that, Namantha, maybe we can go forward to the next part.
Okay, Bhante, and much best, Bhante, for excellent guidance. And I think all the people who drew captured that their minds.
Namantha too had a drawing, right? I forgot that.
It was so...
You were drawing something?
Yeah, I can show it, but it's not very pretty. I changed mine several times. So what happened was, that's what it is. So what happened was when I was starting, I thought I'll finish in little time, and there was more time. So I started darkening, and then I initially thought it should be abstract art, but then I thought it maybe turn it into a shield. So ran out of space and it became what it is. So completely unplanned.
Yes.
But it's good because I knew that how the mind kept on changing from stage to stage, depending on what obstacle it faced at each stage. So it was a good experience. Thank you, Bhante.
Yes. So that's the idea. No need to have a certain idea. Instead, just simply go with the flow.
Yes,
when the paper is not enough, you will end up with some
maybe
shape.
What I did was flow with the flow rather than go with the flow.
Yes, and my pen ended, so I had to use a different color. So that's how the process will go, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay,
okay, thanks. With that, right, we'll Bhante. Move forward. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Bhante, for the in-session practice. And next, we will have the talk on today's session, and I would like to invite Bhante again on behalf of all of us, and I will share the screen for the flyer on the talk as well. Over to Bhante again, much respect.
Okay, thanks, Namantha. Hello, everyone. So today we are having a fresh topic to discuss, and we'll see how we can really relate this week's topic or this new topic into our day-to-day life and the activity that we have done. Now, when we think about our daily life, you may be busy with so many things. Usually you are busy with your work, you have a business maybe, some of you might have education things that you have to do, family matters, raising your children. So many things are there. So many things we do, and we try to achieve certain targets. We try to achieve certain goals with our day-to-day life. So this way we try to function. This way we do things. Now when we function like this, maybe for like few years, maybe for like few decades, when you function like this, you start to realize you feel so much friction in your mind. You start to feel so much friction in your mind. And sometimes towards the end of the day, you can't really manage or cope with the anxiety, stress that you are facing. When you can't manage or cope the anxiety, stress that you are facing, in a way, you lose yourself. Sometimes you develop certain addictions as a way of coping. Sometimes you get into unnecessary fights, struggles as a way of coping. So this way, we try to function This way we try to deal, work with the world. Now when you start to experience this type of a state in your mind, you start to feel that time is slowing down. Time is slowing down. Sometimes a single day, probably a busy day, it might feel so long. And whenever you have a weekend, whenever you have a holiday, it flies by without you even noticing. So this idea of time, or the way we perceive time, changes with the status of our mind. When we are calm and relaxed in our mind, we don't even feel the time passing. When we are so stressed, anxious in our mind, it feels like that the time has stopped. Even spending 1 hour, it takes so much time. Going through a busy day, it feels the day is so long. So this way, you can really feel the grip of your mind. When your mind has a tight grip, then you can feel the time is slowing down. When your mind is calm and relaxed, then you can feel the time is going really fast. It flies by. So this is the way we experience our life. In a way, the time, we feel it, we experience it based on the status of our mind. If your mind is calm and relaxed, the time will fly by. If your mind is anxious and has a tight grip, then the clock stops. So this is the idea for today's discussion or today's topic. Let me read out the quote that's in the poster. The sinful and blinkered are forced to live forever, while righteous and awakened are privileged enough to be able to die. That's the very idea. If you are blinkered, if you are sinful, then in a way you are forced to live a long, long life. You are forced to live a long, long life. And if you are awakened, if you are more conscious, then you are privileged enough to be able to die. This is the very idea that we can relate to our practice as well. If you are not mindful in your mind, if you are so anxious and caught in the past and the future, then you feel like the time is slowing down. The clock stops. Think about a night or a day that you were so anxious. Maybe you heard a bad news about somebody. And next few hours, it felt like a year maybe. You were struggling, you were trying to force yourself into sleep, but still you couldn't do it. Why? Because in your mind, you are so anxious. In your mind, you are so blinkered. When you have that type of a status in your mind, then the time slows down. You struggle for so many hours, it feels, and finally you check the time and only like 30 minutes has passed. That experience, I think, it's common to all of us. Whenever we feel this struggle, this anxiety, this stress in our mind, the time slows down. Whenever we feel comfortable, calm and relaxed in our mind, the time flies by. So this is the very experience that we are having. So in a way, if you want to live a long, long life, then don't meditate. Don't meditate. There's some sarcasm in this comment. You know, we usually wish a long, long life to other people, right? That's our wish. That's the worldly wish that we have, right? But in order to live a long, long life, you have to struggle. You have to have this friction, anxiety in your mind. When you have that type of a quality in your mind, then the time slows down. The clock stops. And you feel like you have gone through so many decades of pain and suffering within few months, within few years, that experience you have. So in a way, if you want to live a long, long life, then probably avoid meditating, just simply doing things as the way you are currently doing. Just continue with that ignorance. That ignorance will allow you to live a long, long life. That tight grip in your mind will allow you to live a long, long life. But when you try being mindful, what happens? Maybe practicing even for a few minutes, you can start to feel that the time is starting to fly back by. It is moving fast, the time is flowing fast because you don't have a tight grip in your mind. Now maybe like a couple of weeks ago, we went and did a program at a school, probably like the older children, and we did maybe like 20 minutes of mindful walking. And like 20 minutes of mindful sitting. So usually after a practice session, after introducing the practice, after doing the practice, we ask the children to share their experience. What did you feel while doing the mindful walking? What did you feel while doing the mindful sitting? That experience sharing we usually do. So this was a new group of children. They were new to the practice. We did the introduction. We did the mindful walking sitting. And towards the end, we asked for their experience. Initially, nobody wanted to share. They were hesitant to share their experience. Since nobody was interested in sharing, I picked one of the children. She was probably like 13 years old. And as soon as I asked her, she was sharing her experience. She did mention about mindful walking and how she felt the ground and the surrounding. And she was commenting, "I felt so relaxed, so calm in my mind, bursting with energy, bursting with happiness." She was sharing her experience. Then I asked about the mindful sitting. She felt the breath. She felt the sitting posture. She felt the surrounding. And she was saying that she felt so calm and relaxed in her mind. Bursting with happiness, she's saying that I haven't felt this type of a happiness, this type of a calmness in my mind. So that's a child maybe practiced for like 20 minutes of mindful walking, 20 minutes of mindful sitting. After that experience, this child is saying that I haven't felt this calm and relaxed in my mind maybe for years. That's the idea she's giving, right? So you can really see within few minutes of practice, you can really feel that the grip is loosening and you feel calm and relaxed in your mind. When you feel that calm and relaxation, you know that the time will fly by. That's the reality. That's the idea, right? So when you practice mindfulness, sometimes you feel that you were sitting for like 5-10 minutes, but in actuality, maybe like 30-40 minutes of sitting you have done. You are walking in the process while appreciating the walking. And without even knowing, you have spent an hour. So this way, we see when we release the grip in our mind, when we practice being aware, when we practice being conscious, we simply feel calm and relaxed in our mind. So in actuality, you can see that whenever we are stuck in the past, whenever we are fearful about the future, the time, it slows down. You start thinking about the past, you start thinking about the future, and that very process will slow down the time. And in your mind, you become so anxious. Usually these days, most people, they take their lives too seriously. They take their lives too seriously. They have so many goals that they have to achieve. If something goes wrong, they may get punished by certain authorities. So they are too serious about this thing. They want to achieve deadlines. They have certain goals. They want to achieve certain guidelines. So you are following everything. You are trying to achieve everything while not having any peace, any calm, any relaxation in your mind. So in a way, we are taking this life too seriously. So seriously, we are living this anxious, difficult life. And every time towards the end of the day, you feel like killing yourself. It's that difficult. Towards the end of the day, you feel so anxious. You feel so much friction in your mind. So this is the process that we are caught. Every day, early morning, you go to work. You do your things and you come home so anxious, so stressed. This is the life that we are doing. So in a way, we are taking this life too seriously. We are having so many goals, so many targets that are not really useful. Why am I saying that they are not really useful? Because if you think about it, peace in your mind, this calm in your mind, it's even more pricey. That's a real target that you have to go for. But instead of going for those targets, you go for these worldly targets. And as a result, you end up so anxious, so stressful in your mind. So in a way, we can see that we are taking this past or the future goals too seriously. We are taking this life too seriously. And as a result, we feel anxious. As a result, we feel fearful in our mind. That's why Alan Watts, he's saying that what went wrong with humankind is that they have taken this life too seriously. The gods, they have created it as a game, but the humans, they have taken it as something serious. They have taken this life too seriously, and as a result, they end up anxious. As a result, they end up, you know, hating themselves. This is the life we live. Always your mind is caught either in the past or the future. Right? So the past and the future, that's the source of anxiety. The past and the future, that's the source of the friction that you feel. Whenever your mind is present, you feel calm and relaxed. Whenever your mind is in the present moment, naturally this calmness, this relaxation, it appears in your mind. That's why that little child, she is saying that after 10-15 minutes of practice, I felt so calm and relaxed in my mind. I have never felt it before. That's her comment. So how can you feel like that within few minutes of practice? Simply bringing your attention to the present moment. Noticing what's happening in the present moment. Present moment is blissful. Present moment is calm. Present moment is relaxing. If you go to the past, if you go to the future, then of course you feel the friction. You feel anxious in your mind. Nowadays, in this new age, we are usually targeting for so many things. We have goals. That's why we feel so much anxiety in us. In this new world, the number one disability is mental health, anxiety, depression. So many different words are there. That's the number one disability. Some people, they can't even do their jobs because of this disability. Some people, they can't handle their family matters because of this. So you can see, most of us, we are sick in our mind. We are anxious. We have so much friction in our mind. And as a result, you feel like you are living a long, long life. Why? Because so much friction is there. Because so much anxiety is there. And you feel like you are living forever. You feel like you are living a long life. So this new age, when we try to achieve goals, when we try to achieve targets, this is the result that we are experiencing. But it is a relatively new idea. In the ancient world, they weren't going for the targets so much. Now, for example, this Andean mountains native tribe, they don't have the concept of time. They don't feel it. They don't have it. Instead, they don't have a breakfast time. They don't have a certain time that they have to finish this task. Instead, when they are hungry, they will eat. When they feel like going outside, when the sun is up, they will go outside. They don't have alarm clocks. So in a way, instead of trying to achieve a product, they simply appreciate the process. Instead of trying to reach the destination, they simply appreciate the journey. That is how they live. That is how they live. And the concept of time, they really don't understand. Instead, simply when the sun is out, they wake up, they go out. When they're hungry, they eat. That way, they function. That way, they do their things. So you can see, they are appreciating the process instead of trying to get a product out. That's their way of living. So the mindful practitioner, they too come close to this idea of appreciating the process instead of the product, appreciating the journey instead of the destination. So while doing something, you try to do it while appreciating what you do. Maybe drinking a cup of tea. Can you simply appreciate those few seconds? While walking somewhere, instead of thinking about the task that you're walking, instead of thinking about the person that you have to meet, can you simply appreciate the journey that you are simply walking? There's no rush. Maybe unconsciously you are rushing. You are trying to arrive to that place as soon as possible. But if you simply pay attention, then you can feel the body walking. You can feel the surrounding. You can hear the surrounding noises. That very appreciation we try to do. So that's the very idea of this practice. Instead of trying to achieve a certain goal or a target or a product, we try to simply appreciate the journey, the process. And more you do that, more comfortable, more calm, more relaxed that you will feel in your mind. And you start to experience that although the past incidents are there, although the future planning is there, your mind doesn't dwell in the past or the future too much. Instead, simply your mind is coming to the present, returning to the present. Naturally, your mind starts to dwell in the present. That change you can experience. If you do few weeks of practice, you can really see how the mind is starting to appreciate the present moment more and more. Instead of those thoughts, incidents in the past, instead of the future fears, you start to appreciate the present naturally. And when you appreciate the present naturally, you can feel that your mind is at ease. Things happen. You talk to people. Sometimes they say harsh words. Certain things that you have to do. You achieve your daily things. But still, you don't feel so anxious in your mind. Even towards the end of the day, still you have some kind of a calm, relaxed nature in your mind. Even after a busy day, you feel your mind is at ease. That very experience all of us can have within few weeks of practice. It doesn't take that long. If you try it, you start to feel it within few weeks. That's the very idea. That's what those children, they feel within few minutes of practice. Maybe the adults, they need a longer period. Because children, with their childlike nature, at a young age, they are more present. When they grow up only, they get lost in the past and the future. That happens with time, but initially, early ages, you are more and more present in your mind. So children, they can really feel it within few minutes of practice and practicing for the very first time. But the adults, they might need a certain period to develop their practice, to grow their practice, and eventually return to the present moment. Return their attention to the present moment. Naturally come into the present moment. That ability all of us have. If you simply try it for a few weeks, without that much effort, you start to feel. Even being mindful, you don't have to do much. That's what those children, they find it so easy, so comforting, so relaxed, because they are not doing much. Now, even being mindful, we take it as a target. Right? Being mindful, that's our target. Observing many number of breaths, observing many number of steps, that's my target. So in a way, in the same process, even being mindful, you create an anxiety, stress, because now the mindfulness is your target. But simply sit for a while, simply walk in a comfortable manner, and if you just appreciate the sitting for a few more minutes, if you just appreciate the walking for a few minutes, you are naturally mindful. You don't have to fight the surrounding. You don't have to fight the sounds, noises from the surrounding. You don't have to fight the thoughts in your mind. Instead, simply be comfortable, appreciate the walking, be comfortable, appreciate the sitting. And within few minutes, you realize you are naturally mindful when you do that. That child was making that comment about the mindfulness practice and saying that she felt so calm and relaxed like never before in her mind. I asked her, did you hear the surrounding sounds? She said, yes. Were they disturbing? No, sounds were there. They didn't disturb me. Did you feel the thoughts about your home, friends, various things? Yes, I got thoughts. Were they disturbing your practice, your mindfulness? No, thoughts came and went. They weren't disturbing me. Among all these things, I was aware. Among all these things, I felt so relaxed, calm in my mind. Right? So you too can feel it. Even within few minutes, you too can feel it if you simply let go of this struggle. Simply let go and see what appears in the present moment. Sometimes the thoughts are there, sometimes the surrounding sounds are there, but you can simply feel that the body is breathing. The body is walking. That simpleness all of us have. Right? So when you come to that simplicity, when you come to the present moment, you lose the concept of time. You don't feel it. It's either the past or the future that will create this grip in your mind. It's either the past or the future that will create so much anxiety in your mind. When you bring your attention to the present moment, you feel so calm and relaxed. There's no real grip in your mind. And the time is flying by. Right? Whenever you are lost in your thoughts, whenever you are lost in your past, whenever you are fearful of the future, the clock stops. Right? So if you want to live a long, long life, then be unconscious. Be unaware. Allow this process to continue. Naturally, you will live a long, long life. More anxious you feel, more friction you feel the time longer. But if you practice being conscious, if you practice mindfulness, if you practice bringing your attention to the present moment, then you feel that the time flies by. And in a way, you are privileged enough to be able to die. That's the very idea for today's discussion. And what I suggest is that try to experience this. Whenever you feel friction, whenever you are struggling with something, you can really feel how the time is slowing down. Whenever you are calm and at ease in your mind, you can really feel the time is flying. So that very experience have in your life, try to see how we can relate this idea into the daily life and into our practice. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and it's a very nice explanation of the concept for today's talk, and much best to Bhante. Next, we have the session opening up to the question and answers section of the program. I would like to invite Anupama to commence with the question and answer session, and I will share the screen for the introduction to beginners as traditional in our program.
Thank you, Namantar. Avasarai Bhante. Hope you can all hear me. I'll start off as usual by giving an intro to the mindfulness for beginners in English. Of course, many of you are already familiar with this, but it is for the benefit of refreshing your memory and also for any newcomers if they arrive. So we do have instructions on mindful walking and sitting on YouTube. And as you can see, there are the links to these videos on the screen in front of you. Namantha is also posting the links on the chat if you do need them. The recommendation is that you allocate a small time daily for these practices. And if you can continue this training until you have completed at least 2 hours of each practice in total, you can then move on to the third step. This is to write down your experience in a reflection report. You can present this as a question or a statement. You can write your experience under titles, mindful walking, mindful sitting. You can describe what you felt when you were mindfully walking and sitting and what you recognized in these postures. You can describe prominent sensations such as the textures you felt on the ground while walking, pressure points on the soles, how the body weight shifted from one leg to the other. Also, when you're sitting, any prominent sensations in that position, such as pressure points, incoming and outgoing breath, raising and lowering the abdomen, etc. Once you've written the report, you can send it through to us, either through the Google form or an email or our email, which all the details are in front of you on the screen or in the chat. And the advice is you continue your mindful practice according to the advice given from your report discussion sessions. And all recorded sessions of our discussions are available in the given link in the chat and on the screen. Thank you. I will now move on to the first, we've received one report, so I will read the report for today. Report by an adult, and we'll start with walking meditation. A regular walk was used as an opportunity to practice walking meditation. Initially noted placing of right and left feet, then lifting, moving, placing of each foot. Noted the changes in the weight when walking uphill, and change of speed and need to tilt body as pushing a baby in a pram, within brackets buggy. Observe warmth and sensation of moisture at times, more prominent in one foot. Sounds, sight, discomfort not distracting, but observed when mind took those objects briefly but returned to feet. Thoughts came and went, at times distracting, and proliferations noted, only after a short time had passed. Mind again coming back to feet. Walked 1.5 hours. Sitting meditation. Mind noted sitting posture. Places touching each other, hands on each other, feet on legs, buttock on cushion, etc. Relaxed mind observing the breath which disappeared, rising in one nostril and then later in both. Exhaling noted, both nostrils more prominent on right. It varied from time to time, very subtly, and disappeared at times. The breath was not always wet. Noted warm out-breaths and colder in-breaths. Mind noted to think of the past and noted the misperceptions of the past, which then disappeared. The mind then took a pain, discomfort as object and knowing it would pass. Watched it happen with the nature and position of discomfort changing. The mind now not agitated or worried when pains arise, as aware it will pass. Thought of future also observed arising and passing. Some short proliferations observed. Mind altered between breaths and thoughts mostly. Sounds, pains not distracting. Meditated 45 minutes. Mindfulness in the day. Noting less interest in the stimulation of senses, especially sights, sounds, smell and touch. Aware of preference in mind to listen to Dhamma talk or discussion, then going out or traveling, etc. Not that interested in going for gatherings, concerts, theatre, shows, etc. And actively noting in the mind being bored even when attending such events. Taste stimulation is the most challenging, and mind noted to pay for this. Often aware when greed arises, especially with regards to taste. With much gratitude to Bhante and others. End of the report.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now, most of you are working. So you have your busy schedules. So it's not fair for us to ask for you to meditate for hours and hours, right? So you have to do your daily activities, daily things, so many tasks are there. But if you listen to this report, that person has to walk anyway, right? Regular walk is there. And can we use that slot as meditation? So anyway, you are walking. So can't I walk like a mindful walk? Can't I use that time to meditate? That's the very idea. That's the very idea. So in a way, when you are living a busy life, you have to be skillful. That is important. Otherwise, you'll always complain that you don't have time. You'll always complain that you are anxious. You'll always complain about your things, the status of your life. That complaining won't do anything. At least you know that you have a trouble. You complain about it. But what we say is that you have to act. This is how you have to act. You have to be skillful, trying to find slots for meditation. It doesn't have to be a formal walk. Instead, anyway, this regular walk is there. Can I do it as a mindful walk? This is my mindful walking time. Somebody, maybe like few months ago, was saying that anyway, that person every day, 45 minutes, early in the morning, seated in a bus, going to work. So that 45 minutes, anyway, that person is traveling in a bus. So this person, being skillful, used that slot, that 45 minutes, as mindful walk, mindful sitting time. So while being seated in a bus, the bus is crowded, so noisy, and you can feel the crowd that surrounds you. But among all these things, you are simply mindful. You can feel the breath. The thoughts, various comments about the surrounding, they come and go. But simply you are seated. Simply you are breathing. So that way you have to be more skillful, trying to find opportunities for you to practice. Otherwise, if you wait for the proper moment till you get free time to sit, when you feel comfortable in your mind and body to sit, if you wait till the proper moment to get, you know, walking time, when you wait till all things are done so you could do mindful walking, this will never happen. That day won't come. Anytime soon it won't come. Right? So you have to be skillful, trying to find opportunities in your day to practice. That's the very idea. That's the very idea. Even driving to work, you can try and be mindful. Instead of worrying about the traffic, instead of creating anxiety based on that, you can simply enjoy the journey. Try to be mindful. Try to notice how your body feels. Try to notice the breathing. Try to notice the grip of the steering wheel. So all those things you can feel. That way you can spend your time. That way you have to be skillful. Even during the work hours, maybe you have so many opportunities that you do your regular walks. Maybe you walk from one classroom to the other. Maybe you walk to the canteen. So those opportunities, you can simply use them to practice. That way you have to establish mindfulness in your life. Otherwise, if you wait for the proper moment, the perfect moment, then it will never come. That's the very idea. Some people, they say, when I build a walking path, I'll do the mindful walking at home. That's their idea. In order to do the mindful walking, they need to build a walking path first. 45 feet long, 3 feet wide, a walking path I'll build. When I build that, I'll practice mindful walking. That will never happen. Instead, if you simply select some flat ground and start walking, the nature will create a walking path for you. Walk for a few days, walk for a few weeks, walk for a few months and see what happens. A walking path is created. Nature has created one. Right? So that is the very idea. And somebody sees you for weeks, months, walking on the same strip of land, and maybe they'll spread some sand over there. So that way, the surrounding, the nature, will build a walking path for you if you have that interest towards the practice. The nature will create opportunities for you if you have that interest towards the practice. That's the very idea. Otherwise, you keep complaining. You wait for the perfect day, it will never arrive, right? So you have to be skillful trying to find slots, opportunities for you to practice in your daily life. That's what we recommend. That way, when you do, it doesn't matter whether you are at home or in a monastery. It doesn't matter whether you are a layman or a monk. If you are skillful, you know how to be mindful. You know how to find time for the practice. That's the very idea. That's how we can really attain some kind of a lasting peace in our mind. Just simply that way, if you continue for a few weeks, few months, you can really feel it. You can really feel that your mind has changed for better. You can really feel within few months, your anxiety, your depressions, they have reduced considerably. So that skillfulness is important. In this report, your way of practice is good. Walking practice, sitting practice, daily practice. The way you practice is good. What I say is that try to be more and more skillful and try to live like you are meditating. As long as you live, you can meditate. Whatever you do, you can meditate. Whenever you talk to somebody, you can meditate. Wherever you go, you can do a mindful walking. Whenever you sit, you can do a mindful sitting. So that way, try to make meditation your life. In a way, this is an invitation to live more and more. The life, it goes in the present moment. So as long as you are present, you are living your life. That's the invitation. Past and the future, they are just thought. Although it feels real, they are just thought. All the incidents that you have in your mind about the past, all the sorrows, all the issues that you have in your mind about the past, they are just thought. Fears, ideas, plans about the future, they are just thought. Simply, your reality is the present moment. Try to appreciate that reality. Try to live more and more.
Thank you, Bhante, for that very valuable advice, in fact, about being skillful and, I suppose, taking every opportunity possible to be or practice mindfulness. We now move on to the question and answer session. In fact, we've got a question that's come through the chat, which I would like to pass to Bhante. Swami Mahansa, can we say life is as a rehearsal? Please, can you explain whether it is correct or wrong? Teruvan Sarathi. This has come from Hiroshima, the question.
Yes, the question is, can we say the life is a rehearsal? But I have to ask another question, what are we rehearsing for? Right? So that's the thing. In a way, if we are rehearsing, are we rehearsing for something? Are we rehearsing for something meaningful? If you really pay attention to this rehearsal, in our life, you can really see there's no real meaningful end. And such simply rehearsing for the sake of rehearsing. There's no grand drama that you'll play after all these rehearsals. And such rehearsing for the sake of rehearsing. And try to enjoy it. Don't take it too seriously. Don't take it so seriously. And such simply rehearse like it's a game. Now, even nowadays, the games, they have no fun because of all the rules. Even the games, they have sucked the fun out of them, introducing so many rules and regulations. That's the thing. That's the thing, right? So, we can say that life is a rehearsal, right? But try to, you know, rehearse like it's a game. Like it's a game. That childlike nature is important. Not childish. Instead, childlike nature. That is important. The child, they just simply just do the thing, play the game, but they don't take it so seriously. That's the very idea. Do the rehearsal, but they don't take it very seriously. That way, if you do, then you realize it's a rehearsal, but we are rehearsing for nothing. There's no real meaning, there's no real purpose. And so simply appreciate the rehearsal, appreciate the journey. That's the very idea. Now, that quote I forgot about from Alan Watts, he's saying, man suffers only because he takes seriously what God's made for fun. He's saying in some different terms, the gods, they made this for fun, but the men, they took it so seriously. That's why they suffer. So we too suffer by taking this life too seriously. Whenever you feel sick, feel tired in your body, you end up, you know, worrying about it so much. Will I die? What happens to me? All those worries come. Whenever something small happens in your life, you start overthinking. What could I do about this? Can I solve this? Always you are taking this life too seriously. But instead, can we live this life in a childlike nature? Sometimes difficulties come. I am not denying that. The difficulties, troubles, they come. Sickness come. When they come, you simply have to, you know, accept it. What else? There is no other option. That's your reality now. The body is aching, paining. That's your reality. If somebody has made a mess in your life, that's your reality. You can't deny that. So it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to not to be okay. It's okay to feel sick in your body. That way you have to, you know, appreciate the present more and more. Don't try to deny it. Don't try to deny your reality. That way if you do, then you realize the life is not too serious. It feels like it's a rehearsal, but there is no grand show. It's a simply rehearsal. No need to take it so seriously. And simply, we just rehearse for the sake of rehearsing. And we live this life in a childlike nature. And if you do it, then you realize the peace that you have been looking for is right near you in your mind. That's the idea I can give.
Thank you, Bhante. We do have a second, I think, comment and a question which has come to the chat. It's from Samantha. Bhante, from today's helpful session, I thought how nice if my life could be like a doodle. Calming, being focused on the present. But in reality, to get this calmness, I feel I need to accept everything arising in the present. But feelings, defilements get in the way. So how can I just accept everything that arises in the present moment?
So in your question, there's a paradox, right? You are saying how to appreciate whatever arising in the present moment. But in the meantime, you are denying the feelings, defilements in your mind. So you can't have it both ways, right? Instead, when there are defilements, know that there are defilements. When there are feelings, know that there are feelings. You can't deny that. You can't fight it. Whenever you fight a defilement, you are giving more power to it. Let's say anger or lust. Whenever you fight it, you are giving more and more power to it, giving more and more control to it. You don't feel it right away, but that's what you are doing. I'm talking to the meditators. I'm not talking to non-meditators, right? They'll take this message in a different way. I'm saying if you are a meditator, when you feel the friction, the feelings, the defilements in your mind, if you fight them, if you try to get rid of them, then in a indirect way, you are fueling the same defilement, right? That you don't feel it initially. Sometimes even in the practice, we say that the let go of the thoughts, let go of the defilements and come to the breath. That's the idea we give. But does it really work? Can you let go of those defilements like that? That's the deeper discussion that is related to the practice. When we really know the practice, we have to acknowledge whatever the thoughts, defilements that are there and simply be aware of them. Among these things, you feel the breath. Now, somebody, maybe like a few weeks ago, they were sharing their experience and saying, I got so many thoughts in my mind, but among these thoughts, I feel the breathing. So what's the issue? That's the reality, that very experience you can have. Among so many things, you feel the walking in your body. That's the real practice. That's why that child is saying, the thoughts are there, but they were not disturbing me. Because she's not fighting those thoughts. Simply, that's the reason. Right? So that's the proper way to practice. Now, even the very first report that we heard, I wanted to make that comment. I forgot it. Now, the Dhamma discussions, Dhamma talks, the mind is appreciating. The music concerts, the mind is hating. In a way, when we think about the practice, that's good. We are appreciating the practice while letting go of the, while denying the music or the concerts. But more you mature in the practice, one day there won't be any appreciation for anything. The mind, it doesn't appreciate the Dhamma talks, discussions. The mind, it doesn't appreciate the concerts, music, songs as well. That is the true peace that will arise in your mind. In order to feel it, you have to mature in your practice a lot. Initially, it helps to appreciate the discussions. Initially, it helps to appreciate the Dhamma talks. That's true. But when you have seen Dhamma in you, do you still need the talks? Now, some people, they say, I was sitting for a Dhamma talk, 1 hour I was listening, but I can't remember anything from the talk. So I tell them, you have seen everything in that talk, so why to remember? What else can we say? That's the very idea. So one day, you'll see, you'll go into a concert and you'll see, at a concert. Music is there, the songs are there, people are enjoying, but simply you don't need anything. Your mind doesn't appreciate anything there. But it doesn't deny as well. It is not appreciating anything. It is not denying anything. Simply you are there. The music is playing. The people are dancing. So what's the issue? That's why Socrates is saying, after going through the Athens city, so much luxury, so many concerts, so much music, well, colorful things. After going through that city, he's saying, I came through the city, my mind, it doesn't need anything. So you are there in the concert, but still in your mind, you are somewhere different. In your mind, it doesn't appreciate the concert anymore. When you have aversion towards the concert, in a way, still you have a certain way of appreciating it in your mind. Right? So maturity comes when you practice more and more. One day you can go to a concert and stay there without aversion. One day you can listen to a Dhamma talk, stay there without any attraction towards it. That very maturity will come one day. But for now, this is your experience. That's fine. That's fine. In a way, it helps. It helps in order to, you know, progress in the practice. You have to listen to the talks, discuss about the practice. Those things are helping. But one day, you'll realize now, there's no need. You have seen the Dhamma, so there is no need to listen to it anymore. You have no attraction towards the music or the concerts, so there is no issue being there. Maybe your children is asking you to come, you go, you sit. It feels like you are enjoying the show, but in your mind, maybe the mind is not enjoying it so much. But it is not, suppressing it. It is not denying it. Simply, the mind is not interested or mind is not denying it. That very nature is the true peace. So try to continue that way. And one day you can really feel what we are talking about.
Thank you, Bhante. In fact, when you were discussing the points about how to face the thoughts and the defilements arising in the present moment, it took me to a little animation, which I've just shared in the chat. It's inspired from a Native American story about two wolves that are present within us. So one wolf represents, I think, the wholesome side of us, and the other wolf is more the defilement. So I've shared it, I think, about 4 or 5 minutes with you. Shared for your benefit, I hope. You may have seen it before, but in case you haven't, that just came to mind. The floor is now open again for any questions anyone has. If you can kindly raise your hand or share your questions in the chat, that would be great. We've got a comment from Samantha. Thank you, Bhante. Very helpful advice. Show the mind everything changes. I don't see any hands raised, so maybe that is it for the questions today. Yes, I think that's probably the conclusion of the question and answer session. Again, thank you very much, Bhante, for your valuable advice. As always, there is always food for thought for us to take with us to further enhance our mindfulness practice in day to day. And thank you for all the participants for your contribution, without whom this session wouldn't exist, and to all the organizers.
Thank you, and many merits, Anukuma, and thank you, and much best to Bhante as well, and also to all those who sent the reports and posted the questions in Zoom chat. Now, today's session does come into an end with that last activity on the question and answer session, and I would like to share the merits gained on today's session through to Venerable Bhante and wish him good health and great progress in the path of mindfulness objectives in his life. And I also wish that he may be able to contribute further in future to our program as well. We would also like to mention with gratitude the Chief Abbot of the Nisanarana Ephorus Monastery, the Most Honorable Bhante Udayaregama Dhammajaya Mahatheru, for insightfully requesting this program to be created and implemented in this manner. And we wish the Chief Bhante all these merits to be shared with him, and wish that he also has great health and also achieves his noble objectives in the path of mindfulness practice. Furthermore, I'd like to share all these merits with the wonderful organizers who are behind this program, contributing in many ways behind the scenes, and wish that these merits will have a positive knock-on impact on their own practices, and that they also flourish into the future in terms of mindfulness. Also, I would like to thank all of you who joined through Zoom today, and also all those who would have joined and listened to the talk and the session through the live stream, and wish these merits will have and create a way for a positive impact on your own practices, and that you also will reap these many benefits of practicing mindfulness in all day-to-day activities. Now, with all that said, we will have the session again same time next week, Saturday, as usual. And I would like to wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead, where you get to apply and practice these very valued concepts. So I would end the session now and wish to see you all next week at the same time. Thank you, and much merit for all your participation. Thank you.